Last Saturday was National Hunting and Fishing Day, a subject about which I've shared on past episodes. Tomorrow is National Public Lands Day, another topic that has received airtime. There have been many years when these two national days of recognition have happened on the same day, and we've celebrated both at the Togiak Refuge office here in Dillingham. Honestly, I can't think of any place I could live in our country where these two days have more meaning. So much of what we do around Southwest Alaska is tied to both hunting and fishing, in all their various forms, and a lot of it can and does happen on public lands, whether federal or state. I mean, I work for an office, Togiak Refuge, tasked with taking care of over 4.7 million acres of public land. So yeah, I do think these two days of recognition maybe have greater significance to us than they do for some folks living elsewhere, though I'd argue they should be equally important to all of us. Today, I'd like to spend some time talking about these two. It's possible that it might turn into a little bit of a philosophical rant or journey. I can't promise that it won't. I'd also like to mention some things happening at the Refuge office tomorrow. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I have railed on a few times in the past, using field notes as something of a soapbox, but okay with that because the topics I've chosen to use it as a soapbox for have all been tied to the outdoors and aligned with the principles of my employer. One of those topics has been that I think sometimes we take for granted the two things represented by both last Saturday and also tomorrow. I'm speaking specifically about hunting and our access to lands in which to participate in hunting. Granted, tomorrow's recognition goes well beyond just hunting, and there is certainly a whole lot more you can do outside on public lands besides hunt. However, because hunting is so often tied to firearms, I think maybe it comes under greater scrutiny than some other outdoor activities. But make no mistake, we may be somewhat more insulated with where we are from issues pertaining to both hunting and land access, but we are under some of the same pressures. So many of these things can have a domino effect, and we sometimes don't consider where we're at in that chain or the fact that we're in a chain at all. At the risk of sounding like I'm headed down some dark, gloomy rabbit hole, have you ever read either the Foundation trilogy by Isaac Asimov or a short story called Skipping Stones by Orson Scott Card? Both men are largely recognized as writers of the science fiction genre, and for good reason. Card is perhaps better known for Ender's Game, which was a Harrison Ford movie a few years back. I read as much as I can, which, compared to some folks, is a lot, and compared to others, not as much. The one thing I'll definitely cop to is that I enjoy reading a great deal, and science fiction is a genre that I've often been drawn to through the years. Both the Foundation trilogy and also some of Card's stories and books, Skipping Stones came to mind immediately, bear in common a large, centralized world that serves as the seat for the existing government of all the worlds and systems around them. Trantor, in the case of the Foundation books, and Capital, in the case of Card stories. Both worlds had a history of having natural life until humans overtook absolutely everything, resulting in worlds that had no other life and that were completely covered in metal skins miles thick and with populations into the billions. Essentially, the world was one big city. Doesn't sound like such a great place to hunt or fish, does it? Okay, so maybe that is science fiction and a bit of an extreme view. But consider our world today. Both its population and the human-created sprawl to accommodate that population is growing by leaps and bounds. In other words, the natural world part of our world is shrinking. We will never see a Trantor in our lifetimes, but neither are we moving back to what it looked like as Lewis and Clark moved across the landscape of the lower 48 either. Again, we may feel a bit more insulated up here, and I think that's exactly the right word, because we're still fairly cut off from so much. We still have to get on a plane to go anywhere of significance. Heck, that's a part of the reason that I choose to live here. I like it like that. But things are getting smaller. I've been in Dillingham 15 years and a few months. Not all that long, really, but enough to know that I like it a lot. When I moved here, there wasn't a bridge at Aleknagik, and the road to get there was still gravel. Now it's paved, and the bridge is there. There have been discussions about a road to Manicotic. These may seem like small things, But how long will it be until we can get in a truck and drive to the Igoolawok to fish? I have a parcel of land on Snake Lake now, and I've joked, well, somewhat joked, with my daughters that by the time they're my age, they'll be able to drive to the cabin we're building. I am not saying all this to cast such developments in a negative light, and I understand a bit of what I'm covering here today may be as much opinion as fact. The bridge across the Wood River, that's certainly a good thing. I only wish to point out that the world continues to change in a way that continues to reflect more of the hand of man, and less so that of Mother Nature, and that we should be darned cognizant of and grateful for the hunting and fishing opportunities we have here, and the public lands we have access to, on which to pursue those particular activities. I am of two minds on the idea of a National Hunting and Fishing Day. On one hand, it's a very cool idea to have a day that recognizes those two fine pursuits, both of which are uber-critical to people around Bristol Bay, as well as being identified priorities for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So there is that. On the other hand, part of me feels like, really? A single day? Around here we have another name for the idea of a hunting and fishing day. It's called daily living. But fact is, we do have days to recognize the two, as well as our public lands, so let me share just a bit about both with you, and follow that with what's happening at our refuge office tomorrow. A lot of folks like to trace the beginning of hunting and fishing in recognition and our national conscience of those things all the way back to Theodore Roosevelt. That's understandable, considering what Roosevelt meant to conservation. But the official recognition for such a day actually came many decades later. President Roosevelt was largely the guy behind the creation of our current refuge system, and he was an ardent conservationist as well as a rabid hunter. Also, 100 years ago, hunters and anglers were the earliest, most vocal supporters of conservation efforts and scientific wildlife management. But the day we celebrated last Saturday actually got started in the state of Pennsylvania. The first to suggest an official day of thanks to sportsmen was a gun shop owner in that state, a Mr. Ira Joff. In 1970, Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer adopted Joff's idea and created what was billed as an Outdoor Sportsman's Day in the Keystone State. Less than a year later, Senator Thomas McIntyre of New Hampshire introduced Joint Resolution 117, authorizing National Hunting and Fishing Day on the fourth Saturday of every September. Representative Bob Sykes of Florida introduced an identical measure in the House of Representatives. In early 1972, Congress passed both bills by a unanimous vote. On May 2, 1972, President Nixon signed the first proclamation of National Hunting and Fishing Day. By late summer, all 50 states had joined in. National Hunting and Fishing Day continues to be celebrated the fourth Saturday of every September. It remains the most effective grassroots effort ever undertaken to promote the outdoor sports and conservation. The goal is simply to help spotlight the conservation accomplishments of sportsmen and women, something I think that we can all get behind. National Public Lands Day, the event of tomorrow, is celebrated annually at public lands in the United States on a Saturday in late September, which happens to be the 30th this year. It promotes both popular enjoyment of our country's public lands, as well as volunteer efforts on those lands to keep them clean. National Public Lands Day began in 1994 at three sites and included some 700 volunteers. It proved to be a big success and became a yearly tradition. Since that first day, over 20 years ago, it's an event that's grown considerably. In fact, in recent years, on this date, it's not uncommon for close to 200,000 volunteers and park visitors to celebrate at more than 2,100 public land sites in all 50 states. All of which brings me to what this means for you, potentially, tomorrow, at least if you happen to be in Dillingham. To recognize these two events, Togiak Refuge is having an open house, just as we have for the past several years. This will happen tomorrow, Saturday the 30th, at the Refuge Office Building, which is located above the Bayside Diner in downtown Dillingham. If you're in Dillingham, we'll be open to the public from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll have a campfire going, in a fire pit, hot dogs for you to cook, coffee available, and possibly some other drinks and snacks as well. We'll have a number of demonstrations and activities. While the list isn't completely finalized yet, we're planning to have a few things for folks to do, like possibly making plaster cast of animal tracks, painting with watercolors, or shooting caribou and grouse silhouettes with both bow and arrow and dart gun. Other possibilities include how to make a snare, reload a rifle cartridge, make sausage out of your moose or caribou, and stay safe in bear country. We'll also have a few things for the younger kids, like a raft to climb on and a fish pond kind of thing. And everything is absolutely free. So if you happen to be in town, say for the farmer's market or to stop by the post office, we invite you to drop by and say hi. Have a hot dog and something to drink on us. Swap a few hunting stories or lies. Well, those are somewhat synonymous, right? The weather is looking like it should be a terrific fall day, and we'd love to see you. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.